Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Heard in Gary Montgomery.
All right, you let me know. I'll pop in 2 minutes or so every time.
For your Second Amendment rights, they teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas, your favorite local live gun talk radio show, brought to you by the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, Houston's 2012 concealed handgun license headquarters. Jeff, Gary, and Jason in studio today, as usual. So holster your guns and pick up your phones. Call in now at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's talk guns and all things that go bang. As usual, Gary will be manning Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook as well. So
and
if you can't get to
Texas
a phone,
radio.com. Yes.
So
they can send us emails.
That's right. If you can't get to a phone, you can send us emails, like Gary said, through
and
Guns
I'm
Over
on
Texas Radio.
TexasGunForum.com.
You're just all over the place, man.
I'm trying. I'm embracing all of the avenues of electronic media. As we
that's impressive, man. You're on four different sites at one time.
Dude.
Is it Texas Gun Talk? You're on that?
TexasGunTalk.com, okay. Yes.
Good deal. Well, Houston, give us a call. Like I said, 281-558-5738, and we're going to talk anything you want to talk about today. I want to know if you are part of the massive wave of people buying a gun for the first time. If you are, we'd like to hear from you today. We want to know what makes you want a gun for the first time, and are you planning on getting your concealed handgun license while you're at it? 281-558-5738. And if you're a first-time caller, you'll go straight to the front of the line. Now, we've had a lot of people coming in to buy guns, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's election season. It's a good time to be in the gun industry. It's a hard time to be in the gun industry because everybody's wanting guns, and they're hard to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And, I never thought I'd see the day when I couldn't get a hold of a Glock 19, you know, which, by the way, we've got Glock 19s coming in Tuesday in Flat Dark Earth. It's the new limited production color.
The one that actually looks like Flat Dark Earth or the one that looked like baby poo?
It's Flat Dark Earth.
Okay.
It looks
cool
good.
Photo.
Now, my
Smith
& Wesson
M&P's are the ones that were, wow, that was a color.
Now that
that's a diaper color.
I was going to say,
that's a diaper color.
That is definitely, you know, had too many bananas, baby poo, kind of,
It is not the most attractive looking gun, but it works. But the Glock 19 Flat Dark Earth, so they'll be in Tuesday, and we should have 17s, 22s, and 23s
He's
coming
third
in
gen
as well.
Or fourth gen?
Both.
Okay, cool.
Now, like I said, we've got so many new people that are buying guns, people that never thought that they would own guns.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, you know, I met this guy. His name was Glenn, older guy, Vietnam veteran, grizzled Marine. And
he didn't already own a gun?
He hadn't picked up a gun since Vietnam.
Wow.
And he had...
Had enough of it.
You know, I didn't ask any questions, you know, about why or anything like that. I could draw my own conclusions.
Yeah.
And so he just came in and said, I need a Glock 17. I said, have you ever shot one before? I said, I have not shot a gun since Vietnam. I always told myself I would never do it again, but I need to get a gun. Well, what's bothering you, man? Do you have somebody harassing you?
I'm sorry, man. That whole conversation struck me a little off.
No, he said that he is fearful of what's going on with government.
Okay.
And he's fearful of what's going to happen in the streets. He thinks, you know,
it might
that,
get
we're
interesting.
Gonna have, that we're going to be living in interesting times, yes. to put it lightly.
We'll have exciting days ahead, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I took him out on the range, and man, he shot a 17, and he shot really well. I loaded up a mag for him, first time he fired a gun in 40-something years,
mm-hmm.
And he went out there and did really, really well. Promptly came in and bought a Gen 4 Glock 19, fit his hand a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we're seeing a lot of, is people that are coming in and buying out of fear. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2008, when people were buying out of fear, it was a completely different story. It was, why do you want to buy a gun? Oh, I don't know. I just got to get one.
Right.
Okay. Have you ever shot before? Well, no. Well, okay, do you plan on learning how to use this gun? Well, no, I just got to buy one. Okay, sir, well, you just go ahead and go to a big box store because I'm going to save my inventory for people who actually want to use their guns. And now, whereas people were just, you know, in 08, people were just buying to buy.
Right.
Now people are buying and they're training as well. And
well, so that's good to hear.
It's a different fear that we're seeing. Yeah. You know, these folks are getting their entire families involved. Mm-hmm. Whereas we used to give a lot of lessons, you know, one-on-one with, say, maybe a dad or a mom. Now we're giving a lot of lessons to the entire family. Mm-hmm. And so things have changed quite a bit between, you know, then and what we have now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had my wife and daughter on Wednesday night at your wife's ladies only
class.
That's
correct. Tell us, well, what did your, now this is the Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. Tracy gives a ladies only group lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, starts at square one and goes to marksmanship. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about their experience.
Well, my wife just wanted to do a refresher because she's had her concealed carry for quite some time, but she still doesn't practice nearly as much as she should. But she, before she came up for her renewal, she wanted a chance to go shoot some. But it's a little less intimidating when it's just other women in the class, and there's not the testosterone factor that goes with all the guys with all their ninja stuff, you know, be it mall ninja or real ninja.
Or the screamer. You know, the screaming instructor.
Yeah. They don't want.
If you're a screaming instructor and you're listening to this, you're an idiot. It doesn't work well, sir. Go ahead. Sorry, Jason. There's a time and a place for a screaming instructor. It's not indoors when you've got a group of women.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, the Gunny Hartman doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, they enjoyed it. They went through it. Everything was good. They didn't shoot as much as I thought they were going to shoot more, but like you said, it was more of a starter class for the first hour, was kind of classroom topic. But I think it was a good refresher for my wife, who hasn't shot in probably 8-9 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about your daughter? Did she enjoy it?
She said she enjoyed it as well, but again, I can't get her out to the range nearly as much as she should.
Now, isn't she trying to follow in Dad's footsteps?
That is part of the plan, but still motivated. It's like, ooh, those things they're big and they're heavy and they're loud, and I got to carry it all the time? Yeah. Which is unfortunately a disease I see in a lot of police officers. It's like, what did you think was going to happen when you took this job?
Kind of like that young lady that was over at, what was it?
Zone de Erotica.
Zone de Erotica, yes. Yes.
There's a story from, hypothetically, let's just say there's this officer I heard of who worked in an agency that told everybody that they had to qualify with all the weapons in the inventory once a year as a familiarization. Mm-hmm. Now, even if you didn't carry it, you had to shoot everything to be familiar with it.
Right.
And one of those things was a shotgun. And after doing a hour or two talk about the shotgun, everybody was supposed to go out and shoot like 20 rounds through it, mm-hmm. and just show they could function it, load it, and unload it. And even if they didn't have one issued to them, if they had come across one in their car or another
they could use it.
Person's car, then they would have access. Yeah. And I was told by somebody this person was told by somebody, hypothetically in this movie I saw, that you can't make me shoot that. Well, you know, the other person in the movie said, yes, you have to. No, I'll file on you if you make me shoot that.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
You can't make me shoot that shotgun. It hurts.
Wow.
I said, well, you got to have, I mean, in case you ever have to pick one up, you need to know how to use it. I'm never going to do it. I said, if I have a shotgun, or somebody said if they had a shotgun, which they do in this movie, and that person gets shot and falls down, and you have to pick up that shotgun and keep fighting, what would you do? I just wouldn't pick it up.
Wow.
Yes, that was an actual
law
conversation in a movie. Yes.
In a movie.
Yes.
Wow.
In that movie, that
that's
officer needs to be
movie.
Slapped.
Well,
that's a
based
bad,
on a true story, yes.
That's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Based on a bad true story.
Yeah. And in the end, she didn't fire the gun. Wasn't a fight worth fighting.
Wow.
What do you think, Houston? Give us a call, 281-558-5738. Let's head out to the phone lines. They're starting to light up early, so let's head out to Larry and Champions. Larry, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Hey, guys, I wonder if you can tell me how many times a year in the U.S. guns are used to kill someone in defense of life and or property.
In terms of how many people how many times it's used ending in death. I don't know about that.
Well, actually, ending in death, that there's a CDC number out there, and it's actually only a few hundred times.
Now,
how many times is a gun produced where somebody runs off?
Exactly.
There's two and a half, it's up to 2.5 million times a year is the estimate that I've seen.
But it's only an estimate. There's no hard number.
Right. Yeah.
That's the problem. And even the hard number you get from the Uniform Crime Report and from the CDC is always going to be tainted, even if there's a death involved, because they'll say, oh, was this a righteous self-defense, or are they going to call it a homicide?
Well, at the end of the day, it's still a homicide. It's a question of whether or not it's justified.
And again, is it politically motivated that it was justified or not? So there's going to be some fudging in the numbers to a great extent.
Okay, that's the information I needed. Thanks a lot. Really,
Larry, got a question for you. Do you have your concealed handgun license?
No, I don't, but my wife does.
Cool. Good for her. Now, why don't you have yours?
Well,
maybe that's a topic you don't want to delve into. That's all right.
I was blind if I was in the military, so they're just not giving CHLs to blind guys these days.
Well,
you
this
know,
is true.
We had a girl that was legally blind that got her concealed handgun license, and she nearly shot a perfect score on her test.
Well, yeah, I've actually had not being funny, but really have had a blind man who did pass. But I understand that that's something that would go before the medical review board. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to infringe on his rights.
I bought one of these airsoft guns, and I've got a tone that I'm going to get out in the backyard and put that up against something that will make a sound when the soft BB hits it, and see if I can plink away at that. If I can, I think I want to pursue that bit. I've talked to, a police officer that was referred through Shiloh, and he said he would contact Austin and get back, and I talked to him twice. He never did, so I want to see what I could actually hit at, say, maybe 20, 25 feet.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, we would love to help you out.
So, okay.
Right. Anything we can do to help you out and to be able to exercise those rights, we would be glad to help you do it. And so we'll, you know, get in touch with me on Tuesday at Shiloh Shooting Range.
Old metal cookie sheet or an old pie pan hanging in the backyard off a piece of string. Every time you hit it, it goes ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yep, that's something like that.
Yep.
You betcha. All right, take care.
Larry, thank you, sir. We appreciate your call. Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you're on hold, hold on just a minute longer, because when we come back from break, we're going straight to the phone lines again. They are lighting up now. So we'll be back in just a minute with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. You want to talk guns, gear, CHLs, anything you want to talk about is on the table today. Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. All right, let's head out to Tomball and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon. I've been thinking about buying, the reason I wanted to buy an old slab sights. I was in the Navy.
Okay.
And I qualified on old slab sights, and I was fortunate enough to work for a chief petty officer who made us re-qualify and re-qualify, and we got pretty good with it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And so I went to a couple of gun shows, and I didn't see any of them. I thought,
really?
Yeah.
For those out there who don't know, old slab sights is a 1911.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a 45 semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then other people told me, don't buy one of those, because if you can find one, they're all worn out.
New in the box guns don't tend to be that worn out.
I was going
to
say, because those guns these days are very popular. There's 30 different people manufacturing, 30 different companies manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I was thinking about a surplus, you know.
Oh, yeah, the government doesn't surplus guns in a long time. I mean, a lot of the World War II stuff is out there, obviously.
And that stuff might actually
but
be shut out.
Anything made since the 1970s or so does not get surplus. It gets destroyed.
Well, then I talked to a friend of mine who has a big collection, and he said, well, you probably ought to buy a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to you guys about a week or two ago, and you sounded like you didn't think much of a Taurus 45 semi-auto.
Well, let's be fair. I'll say this. I've seen a half dozen or so of the new Taurus 1911s. And of those, four of them had some issues. But two of them ran just fine. and if you were going to look at a 1911, the Taurus is actually not a bad place to start given its price point. But you start off
with that slide and frame, and then you dump the internals that are metal injection molded.
You may decide to do that.
Put in some Wilson and Ed Brown internals, and
you probably got a solid.
Yeah, the slide and the frame are just fine. Yeah.
Well, then what do you recommend?
Well, for right about the same price, you could get like an STI Spartan.
Yeah. An STI Spartan are made here in Texas, and you know, it's now that's an arm score frame.
Yeah, it's a Philippines frame.
But the guns, I mean,
they run.
One STI stands behind it, but I haven't seen one that didn't run yet.
Yeah, we sold a bunch of them, and they run just fine.
The Springfield loaded and TPR can both be had for under $1,000.
But
so.
I'll throw another name out there. We like to throw under the bus. Ruger makes one, and that gun is
their 1911 has been running so far.
That's what I'm saying.
We never said Rugers don't run except for the LCP.
No, they're just ugly.
They're just usually bulky and have plenty of sharp edges and are very clunky. They're not very.
But the Ruger 1911 that I've seen, every copy I've seen so far, and I've probably seen a dozen, all of them have run. So. So in terms of meeting that price point, that's certainly an option.
Yeah, and if you get a good enough deal on a Taurus, like I say, if you change out the hammer, the sear, the disconnect, the trigger, basically gut it and put in all new parts for $200, I think it'll be a much, much better gun.
Yeah, but then you're looking at a $650 gun.
Let
and
me
then you
this.
Add 200 more bucks to it.
Hang on
so
a second.
So you got $850, $900 that you could have just
bought a Colt. Yep.
Well, yeah, you could have bought a Colt. But let me say this. If you're looking for a super duper sweet trigger, then yes, you'll change those parts out. But the parts that are in the Taurus, that part is functional from what I've seen so far. Where I see issues are things like I've seen extractors that weren't properly fitted. Yeah. I've seen barrel lugs that weren't that the link wasn't there. I mean, a guy took his gun apart, couldn't figure out why he couldn't get the slide apart, and there's no lower the lower link wasn't there.
Quality control from Brazil right there.
So, that kind of stuff needs to be checked out. But,
if I was going to have a Taurus, I think I'd rather have a Taurus 1911 than just about anything else. Yeah. Again, they didn't design it. Somebody else designed it. They worked out all the kinks for a couple hundred, for 100 years here.
Yeah.
And, even the PT series, the PT-92, that are Beretta-based designs, tend to run better than the Taurus originals, which are what we normally complain about, the PT-111, the PT-908.
24-7.
The 24-7. The Taurus originals.
Slim.
Wow. No. But something that Taurus did not design, that they're just taking somebody else's design, you're probably going to have a better chance with.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
It's just strange. Like I said, I'd rather have a Taurus 1911 than any of the other Tauruses.
Yeah. It's a serviceable gun. Especially if you're
a casual
shooter.
Yeah.
But
sounds like I'm probably looking for something that's a little better now.
You can do a lot better for just another $100, $150, $200.
Yeah. Well, here's the question we haven't asked, and that is, what do you intend to do with the gun? Is it going to be a gun that's just for game? Is it for fun? Is it for defense? What are your plans with it?
Well, it's for fun and for defense. I haven't shot anything in a long time.
Okay.
And I'm reading the news, and you probably have been reading about these home invasions, just like I have.
Right.
Well, if I have one, I'd like to teach somebody a memorable lesson.
Well, if you're looking at the end of the day, if you're going to bet your life on it, then whichever 1911, I don't care if you spend $300 or you spend $3,000, because you can do that on a 1911 all day long.
Easily.
But whichever one you do, the gun that you buy, whatever it happens to be, you need to test that gun out and put enough rounds through it that you know how that gun's going to run. Get high quality magazines. Most 1911s are sold with crappy magazines. So, the Wilson 47D has run for almost 30 years now without a problem.
And Chip McCormick's?
Chip McCormick's are a solid magazine. Here in Texas, we also have Virgil Tripp, Cobra Mags, very good magazine. So you've got a lot of choices, but get a high quality magazine. Yes, you're going to spend $30 to $40 on it, maybe even slightly more.
Now, at gun shows, I've seen $7 1911 mags wrapped in oil paper, dated, the Philippines 1962 on them. Uh-huh. Do not buy that stuff. It's junk.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's the thing, is spend the money on the decent quality magazine. Make sure that gun runs. If you find that it doesn't, either have the manufacturer resolve it or contact a good, competent gunsmith. Here in town, we've got Ed Vandenberg at the top of the list. He's part of the American Pistol Smiths Guild. We've also got Teddy Jacobson out in Stafford, and he's a cantankerous old fart, but he's a very good gunsmith. So there's a lot of options out there. And if you got any questions, shoot me an email, Gary at Guns Over Texas Radio. You know, if I don't have an answer, I'll get you an answer.
Another great option is a Smith & Wesson M&P 45.
Well, yeah.
For less money and probably less headache.
This is true.
And more mag capacity.
Yep. Just a thought.
That. Less maintenance.
Well, I'll take a look at it. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you calling. All right, let's head out to the east side. Daryl, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, Daryl.
Bam, bam. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
A little fact check. I don't know if y'all real quick on the Google Internet, but you were mentioning the assault rifle term. I always thought the assault rifle came back with the SG-1943 of the German military.
It's the SCG-44, yes, it was Sturmgewehr, which does translate to assault rifle.
Yeah, I always thought that's where it came from.
Where do we say?
I'm sorry.
Where did we say it came from?
You said the news media.
Well, the news media continues to use that term.
They call things that aren't assault rifles assault rifles.
Exactly.
An AR-15 is not an assault rifle by definition. It's not select fire. Therefore, it cannot be an assault rifle.
Correct.
Exactly.
So the term assault rifle that you're referring to, it was originally coined by the German military, but for our purposes, it means an intermediate cartridge, not a full-power battle rifle, not a submachine gun, and it means select fire. So those things have to all be together for it to be an assault rifle.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So our modern-day AR-15s are Armalite rifles.
Well, that's the thing. It's AR stood for Armalite rifle. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that when the gun was originally developed, Armalite was a division of Fairchild Aircraft Corporation, Eugene Stoner War Form at the time, and and it kept that designation. Mm-hmm. But when it was adopted by the military, it officially became the M16. But, you know, that select fire version was the XM177, so it's like, you know, AR-15 is not an assault rifle in modern.
Okay, yeah, well, the select fire thing. Oh, and speaking of which, a guy called in about a 22, I think he mentioned the Ruger, I believe, specifically pistol, and he wanted a slide lock on it. That was a firm called Randall that used to, I saw it in one of the gun magazines years ago.
Yeah, Randall's gone out of business years ago.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, well, he had decked out a Ruger Mark II with a silencer, suppressor, et cetera, and a slide lock on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't think they were in business because this was an article over 10 years ago, probably about 15 or 20.
Yep.
All right, Daryl, appreciate you giving us a call, man. Thank you for keeping us on our toes, and we will talk to you again soon. All right. Let's head out to Cyprus and talk to Greg. Greg, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Hey, thanks, guys. About a year ago, I finally got my wife into shooting pistols.
Cool.
And so I bought her a Smith & Wesson 38, and I bought her a Mauser 380. And my problem is with the Mauser.
Okay. I can imagine. Well, I got to get my Google Foo in order here and check out a Mauser 380. It looks like a little PPK copy, little Heel magazine release thing on it. I have absolutely zero experience with them, and the only thing I could say from that is you don't see a lot of them. There's probably a reason you don't see a lot of them. It's probably because it wasn't working out real well for the manufacturer or for the consumer.
Well, I never saw one that was any newer than World War II, so I don't know if they were manufactured after that. Because it was a German, it was a Nazi gun, actually.
Yeah. I'm looking at the slide markings on some of these images, and it looks mid-60s, mid-50s, mid-60s for the manufacturer on them. Yeah.
Well, the reason I got it is because it fit her hand so well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that plus the fact that, you know, it looked like James Bond gun. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. This isn't a direct PPK copy, but it's definitely a little blowback 380 single stack that...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's using the same drop safety, hammer drop safety up on the side and decocker. Man, that's a gun that's such a niche gun, and there's not a lot of expertise out there and not a lot of aftermarket parts and not a lot of anything. You know, and it's hard to make a 380 not work being blowback. If there's something wrong with it, it might be better to get another gun.
I've seen a lot of 380 blowbacks that just did not work. That's why I don't trust them.
Yeah, I know.
I say it's time to get a modern firearm.
I bought it.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what my problem is. Bullets jam in the gun,
right.
And I don't care. I don't care how much I spend on the bullets.
Right.
I can spend $35 for a box, mm-hmm. and they still jam up.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How are they stopping? Are they, is it stopping while feeding, or is it failing to extract, or what?
Failing to feed.
Failing to feed. Usually that's the magazine, believe it or not. And so you can try fresh magazines. You can try new magazine springs. That might help. Off the top of my head, I don't know if...
It's the magazine that came with a gun.
You might want to check with... Who am I thinking of? 44mag.com, if I remember correctly. They might have modern magazines for that guy.
Man, how much did you get for this back in the day?
I don't know. Well,
I tell you, if your wife liked how this gun fit her hand, a more modern version of this gun would be the Sig Sauer P232.
Yep.
It's going to be similar in design and build, but it is a tank of a 380. Mm-hmm. Most of these little 380s, just they're not built to be shot. You know,
that's
five
probably
or 6,
one of the few that
rounds.
Does run. Yeah.
This thing will run all day.
The problem was that I got it at a gun show, but mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and you don't know who tried to make it run before that might have got in there with a Dremel tool and did God knows what to it.
Did some gun plumbing.
Yep, and you know the actual PPK Walther still Smith & Wesson actually imports from Walther a little PPK. And there's the SIG version of it. There's a bunch of quality 380s out there that you could dump a couple $100 in trying to make your 380 work, or you could just hit reboot with something that might be a little bit more user-friendly for you in the long run, might be a little bit more confident building, knowing you had something new from the factory.
So you think a SIG Sauer?
A little SIG
232. If you have to do a 380, because that's – here's my thing about the 380. If she likes it, then that's fine, and that's what you have to go with. But I would really take a look at some of the modern 9mm that are in the same size.
Shield, car.
Yeah, and see if that isn't something that works for it. It may not, because the reality is that it's going to be a stiffer spring, and it may be harder to operate for. But it's at least something worth taking a look at.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you calling, Greg. Thank you for being a part of the show. And, Houston, if you have any questions, comments, you want to get involved, give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
You know, I'm looking on a gun broker after he told us, you know, about the Mauser and stuff. I thought I'd see what they were running, see what the comparable was. And on the low end, I'm seeing them at around $500. On the high end, up to $999 for a little 380 blowback. Wow.
Are those Nazi era guns or no?
Some of them are saying that. Yeah, it's just. I mean,
because that then I can see those kind of prices, but even then they're not going to be 380s; they'd be like 765.
No, these are all 380 APCs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
$399—that's the cheapest one I've seen so far on here. But some of them are upwards of
$900. So he could get his money back, and
if somebody out there wants it, but for $400, you could do a lot better, I think, out there in the 380 market.
$400 buys a shield if you can find one.
Finds a shield, or it buys a car in 380. It buys a car in 9mm. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you could do for $400.
And the difference in size in some of these 380s and 9mm is so negligible. Just get the 9.
Yep. And you were talking about the spring weight. You know, the 9s are typically lock breech, whereas the others are blowback.
So they can get away with a lighter spring.
Lighter spring.
But I mean, it's, you know, the shield works so well in terms of hand size for a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
But
and yourself, women. Well,
look into my eyes. But anyway, sorry, folks, we're having a sophomoric moment. But with the shield, I
this
find
whole
that it,
show is a sophomoric moment.
Yeah.
Man.
I have had a lot of female students lately who like the shield, but they find that slide is more difficult for them to operate simply because of the spring weight. But that happens anytime we go to short guns. The shorter the gun is, the stiffer the spring, whether it's lock breech or not. So but you still need to be aware of it. I'd still at least try it. Everybody I've seen that had an issue, it wasn't really so much strength, it was technique. Usually trying to coordinate moving the thumb with, you know, to lock the slide open was the operation was hardest to do. But it's still a gun that I recommend. And, you know, I just can't say enough good about it. I actually shot a...
I know, I sure would like one someday.
I shot a bug gun match with mine last week. I was impressed. I mean, it's the first time I had a chance to do 25-yard shots with a gun. It delivered.
I'm ready to see you take it out to the 100-yard mark at, out there at Impact Zone.
I started to do that Wednesday, but I didn't have time to do it. Sun went down before I could get there, but I may try to do that one weekend soon.
I'll be looking forward to that. I want to go out there with you. I got to go sometime soon, man. Yeah. It's killing me. I got to get out there. Plus, I got to renew our membership out there. So.
For sure, all right. Phil will be glad to see you.
Yeah. Let's head out to Meyerland. It's Guns Over Mitch. Mitch, welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, there are a couple of phrases used that make you want to reach for your wallet and cover it. You know, one of them is, I'm a Christian. The other one is, it's for the children.
Yes.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yes.
And I think the one about it's a public health issue. In today's paper.
See, you've read the Chronicle.
Yes,
the
sir.
Comical. The yeah.
Comical,
yeah.
Chronicle, yeah.
Yes.
And this this idiotic doctor, Stephen Hartgarten, whatever, out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is saying that the host factors, he's comparing, he deals with a lot of gunshot injuries up there, obviously. They shoot each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's comparing, he's trying to categorize those things and comparing them to a public health problem.
Hmm.
You know, in his article here, he says, you know, on a recent survey, they found that people involved in shootings are usually, are not in shootings, but gun owners are usually binge drinkers, have been stopped for DWI, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes through here, also points out the product features. There's no national oversight for safety.
There's a national oversight. You don't point it at anything you don't want to shoot, and you keep your booger hook off the bang switch, and
hey,
it
that's
doesn't
my
go
saying.
Off.
Well, yeah, he goes on in this article to say that they need to watch those manufacturers because they need to correct those problems with those guns just defectively going off. And I told my wife, I said, a gun doesn't go off unless you pull the trigger, you know.
This is the same philosophy with the NYPD dumping, you know, it's a good thing they dumped them because I'm going to buy a used car. But
yes.
NYPD dumped about 15,000 used cars onto the market because they just kept going off.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got to train their officers.
Yeah, well, they don't
want to.
Here's the problem.
That.
If we admit, if we say liability-wise that all these officers are shooting themselves and we say it's not the gun's fault, then it's our fault as an institution and a training issue, and therefore we are liable for the officers shooting themselves because we didn't provide adequate training.
I know.
That's why NYPD will not say that it's a training issue. It's got to be the gun's fault.
I know of a shooting here in Houston that happened the same way.
Absolutely.
Do tell.
No, it made the news. An officer it was a negligent discharge in which an officer ended up with his weapon discharging and he killed a kid.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And you know, there was an attempt to say it was the gun's fault. It was everybody's fault but the officers, you know. And unfortunately, to some extent, it did point to training.
Yep.
Okay, because...
one of the reasons I don't carry a Phoenix style is because, you know...
those guns just go off all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, really and truly, some of these people get in a hurry, and if they're carrying in the waistband up front like that, I mean, hell, you know, they can shoot their personality right off. You know?
Well, yes, you could.
Some of us have more personality than others.
Well, hopefully I can dodge it, you know.
Now, I read part of that article that you had earlier, and unfortunately, like every article the Chronicle ever publishes that has to do with guns, it just drips and just oozes with, we hate guns, you should too. And it drives me up the wall because they're never going to publish an article that talks about all the positive aspects, the historical aspects, the foundation of our country being based on guns.
While we're on that subject, there's nothing worse than New York Daily News stoops to interviewing none other than David Berkowitz.
Oh,
son
this
of
was
Sam.
Rich.
What's his view on gun control?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
What have we come to? You know, this is just...
I don't know. But anyway, that's going to be one of the phrases now. Besides covering my wallet, I might put my hand on my pistol. Because when they start talking about public health.
Right.
Well, you know, we got to do it for public health. It looks
and they want to fold it into Obamacare. I understand that. But if they're going to bring in one of the real dangers no one wants to bring up with the whole Obamacare besides guns, motorcycles,
right.
skydiving,
yeah.
water skiing.
Any high-risk activity.
Anything that's high-risk, all of a sudden, well, it is a public health issue, and we have to pay for a lot of motorcycle wrecks, so we just won't have that out there. I mean, the can of worms this is opening up with your right. lifestyle choices. Well, alcohol, man, that causes a lot of cirrhosis of the liver and kidney problems.
Oh, we're going to come
back
to that.
We can't have people drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's all for the children and all for the public health. And
the one thing, of course, also is... oh my gosh, he's a roofer.
Right.
Well, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this we got to stop this, and we got
to.
Well, no, are there actual U.S. citizens putting roofs on houses?
Actually, no. let's look at the real high risk. Let's look at he's a firefighter, or he's a cop.
Right. Yeah.
Can't have that.
Well, you might end up like England, walking around with a little stick in your hand.
Good Lord.
Well, there's folks that want to take it there.
You know, there's the policy that talks about when, you know, doing police work, we're supposed to wear our vest and have our seatbelts on and stuff, and it's never come forward as to if they would do it, but could your agency come back and say, oh, you got shot and you weren't wearing your vest. Well, we gave you a vest and told you to wear it. That's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, is that coming?
Maybe.
We don't want to pay for this. You violated your policies. You violated the department policy by not wearing your vest.
Yep.
Therefore, we don't have to pay.
Exactly.
You know, one thing I always do when I pull into a parking lot or something like that, as soon as I come off the public street, that belt comes loose. Because if I'm slowing down enough to park, I could be a target. And I want to be able to get to what I need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to go through that, I can't even get my phone out when I have a damn belt on, you know. So, but people just have to be aware. I don't even pull in my driveway with my seatbelt on. I mean, just you got to have yourself ready.
Right,
Mitch. There needs to be more people out there that take everyday life like you do, and mm-hmm. always prepared, ready for something. Thank you for giving us a call, Mitch. We appreciate your you giving us a call and being a part of the show. Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back to the phone lines, 281-558-5738. Hello, Houston. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Talking guns, gear, legislation, CHLs, anything you want to talk about, give us a holler at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. You know, when Mitch just called and he mentioned that, you know, we could be headed the way of you know, London, where your police officers have billy clubs and unarmed. You know, we're already there, man. We have Border Patrol agents going up against cartels
with beanbag guns.
So it's it may sound far-fetched, but we're a lot closer to it than most people realize.
Yep.
All right, we're going to head out to the phone lines. Kip in Meadows Place. Kip, welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Bang, bang, as Mitch said. the one thing about what Mitch was talking about right off the bat is I wouldn't quote anybody. I'd quote Gary, get your booger hook off the bang switch.
These guns are unsafe. Just because it has a double action only pull that weighs 12 pounds, that's not enough, damn it.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's a piece of dangerous equipment, and that's just the way it is.
It's like a car.
Yeah.
Keep your foot off the accelerator and push on the brake.
And if anybody wants to argue public health, more people drown. We already know this because we're getting the input off the internet. More people drown in swimming pools and are killed by guns.
Yeah.
More people die of car wrecks. More people die of medical malpractice. More people die of heart disease than die from gunshots.
I understand, guys. There's not enough time and beer in the world to cover that. My main question was, when you all say blowback design, is that basically the design where the barrel is mounted on the frame?
Yes. Typically, blowback guns, the barrel is rigidly mounted to the frame, and the only thing that provides resistance to that round discharging is a spring.
Yeah, okay, well, that's what because I've heard the term, and I haven't gotten motivated to go online and look it up and such, but I was thinking there's probably some other people out there that didn't want to sound stupid, too, but I believe the only stupid question is the one not asked.
The one you didn't ask, yeah. And there are a lot of people who don't know that.
So. Yeah, okay, so blowback is like the little .22 Walter I have. It's a blowback design.
Yeah, .22s are almost always blowback.
Blowback, okay, because that's where the barrel is not loose in the slide held by the pin. It's just fixed to the frame.
Yep.
Okay, Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I can go back to sleep now.
Kip, got a question for you, Kip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems as though we were looking at your Facebook page, and there were some interesting pictures on there, Kip.
What?
Now,
I don't put pictures on my Facebook page.
Somebody tagged you in a photo, and I just have to ask.
It's a photo with him and David Bowie.
Is there a picture of you and David Bowie and Iggy Pop from the 70s?
No, that if you look at it, it's David Bowie, Iggy Pop, the guy that said...
I thought that was you standing next to him. Oh, Lou Gramm.
Lou Gramm.
Okay, I thought that was you.
That's not me. My face is nothing looking like him.
Well, it was 30 years ago. I was like, man, Kip was a partier. Look, he's here with Bowie, isn't he? Or Lou Reed, not
I'd
Lou Gramm.
Sitting here just talking if I had known those guys.
You never know, man. You might have been the party animal back in the day.
I was a paranoid guy. I was afraid the cops would bust the party.
Uh-huh. All right. Kip, okay. We appreciate you calling. Thanks for the entertainment, Kip.
Bye. See you, Kip.
I thought it was him.
You guys are so bad.
I was excited about that. I was ready to hear some stories,
well,
man.
And Kip, for what it is, we're saying, oh, Kip's on the line. I was like, oh, he's on my Facebook. He sent me a friend request. So I look up Kip, and I'm flipping through the photos. And I was like, whoa, Kip was a partier back in the 70s. Look at this.
All right, let's head out to, let's talk to Ray. He's on I-10 in his car. Ray, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Hey, guys, I enjoy your show.
Thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm not really a gun person, but okay. I plan to be. I'm looking for a handgun that I can use for protection and maybe, you know, range shooting, and my wife. And I want suggestions and brands, if you don't mind. Okay. And I'm not looking for the most expensive. But
now,
I don't
know. Ray, tell me this. What is making you do this? So you are obviously new to guns, first-time gun buyer. What's making you want to do that now?
I've always wanted to. It's just that, you know, I think it's my right to own it, mm-hmm. number
and
one.
It is. Yep.
And I don't think the government's going to come in and take it away or anything like that. It's my right to own it, and I want to own one for protection, really.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah, there is no right or wrong answer. We're just curious what's getting people to the range.
Well, you know, I'll throw this out. For just a ubiquitous, it works all the time, well, 99% of the time, the Glock 19 is just kind of like the Volkswagen. You know, it's the mm-hmm. every gun. It can be used for concealed carry. It can be used on a range gun. It's a solid gun for men and women.
Yep, you know. Easy to learn, cheap, low maintenance, tons of accessories, tons of holsters.
Yeah.
You're not going to go wrong with a Glock 19.
Yeah. Now, behind that, Smith & Wesson M&P is a solid choice. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, I'm going to throw HK out there just because they do. Now, they're expensive, but they do work.
They run fine. I just don't care for the ergonomics of them, but they run great.
So, but there's also SIG. I will say XD, you know, just because someone will hate me for not saying it.
It's got a big following.
It's got a big following. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just inferior. But, you know, but they're available, and it's an option. And it may work for you. If it does, it works for you, then go for it. But I would certainly look at those.
What caliber are those, like the Glock 19?
The Glock 19 is a 9mm, and all of the guns that I'm recommending are available in 9mm. If you're going to have a gun that you're going to feed and want to be able to shoot cheaply and that sort of thing, in a service caliber, 9mm is the cheapest there is.
Okay, I kind of you convinced me of that listening to your show, mm-hmm. so I'm going to check them all out and probably go with the one that.
I bet you if you go by Shiloh Shooting, Jeff's probably got a big gym bag full of guns that he rents out and lets people try them out so they can get an idea of what the guns feel like before they actually plunk money down.
Yeah, absolutely, Ray. Come by and see me. There. I'll take you and your wife out on the range, and we'll fire a mag out of each gun and see what y'all like, see what fits you best. Now,
so I just picked your show up coming back from work, and I enjoyed it. And I guess your show helped me make my decision. So,
awesome. Right. We're glad we could help you out, Ray. And I hope we can finish the job for you. If you come see me at Shiloh Shooting Range, we'll give you an unbiased opinion and let you try them out for yourself so you know what you're getting yourself into and not making a blind investment.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, okay?
We appreciate you, Ray. Thank you for
calling.
Keep up
the good work.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I've got a quick, you know, we were talking about stuff and educating folks, and I posted a, made a post on our website a few days ago that was in response to a question that, that has been asked. And people have heard me say this, but they may or may not understand what the
is. This the marshmallows and grapes?
Hot dogs and hoses, marshmallows and grapes.
Okay, I tell you, I was going to ask you about that, and I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's hold off on that until hour number two.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's clear up the phone lines before we finish this hour off, and then we'll give you your
Dude, it's quick, so let's get on to the phone line.
All right, Larry in Hempstead. Larry, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Larry?
Oh, man, thank you for taking my call. Look, I appreciate it. Love the show. I didn't fell in love with the 1911,
okay.
and I'm not sure. You know, I hear you talking about SIG all the time. Mm-hmm. I have a 9mm XD that's been really great for me, but... I want something a little bit higher quality, perhaps, and I'm not sure if I'm going to go 40 or 45 caliber.
Well, okay.
But if I do, would that gun also have an interchangeable barrel where I can practice with 22s?
Well, if you're going to do a 1911, standard 5-inch 1911, I'm going to say do a 45 because that's that's the caliber that gun was designed to be in. That's the caliber for which you can find magazines, parts, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, there are 22 caliber conversions that will take the entire top end off of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a whole new slide on it, and then it's converted to 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
A lot of those conversion kits run about $275 to $300, and for about $350, you can just get a dedicated 1911-style 22 caliber gun that you can run, and that way you don't have to worry about swapping parts back and forth.
Yep.
They make them through that are pretty much exact copies of the SIG and the Colt versions. I can't for the life of me remember the name of the company that cranks all those out, but they make a lot of 22 caliber clones of other weapons.
Advantage.
Is it Advantage?
I know Advantage does slides, does the uppers for Glock and
you can't go wrong with either of those. But for the money, would I buy just a replacement slide for my gun, or for $50 more, just get a whole other gun that's dedicated to it? I'd probably just get the gun that's dedicated to it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm definitely going to come down and practice and take that offer up you gave the other gentleman earlier.
Yes, sir.
That's not on the table for you, Larry.
Oh, okay, I'll make it next time.
Well, no, absolutely, Larry.
We see on the board also you've got Ruger versus SIG on there, and I'm going to throw my vote down for SIG over Ruger.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're looking at, but I'm going to vote SIG over Ruger.
Almost whatever.
whatever you're planning on buying, I'm going to vote SIG over Ruger.
Hey, one last thing now.
Sir.
You know, we always seem to be going against the people who don't believe in owning guns and things like that. But is there some kind of educational system where we can tell them that the criminals are not going to give up guns?
You know, the sad part is that even when you tell them, they don't want to be confused with the facts. They've already made up their minds.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like arguing religion and politics. When you're arguing with guns, it's really difficult to change someone's mind because they've already got it in their head that that is evil and it's always going to be evil. And even though it's in an inanimate object that has no will of its own, in and of itself, it must be evil because it was my favorite thing. It was only designed to kill.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Makes it easy to do, too.
You know? Yeah.
You know, nobody loves a soldier until you need him.
Right.
Yep.
That's
nobody
right.
loves a cop or a soldier until you need him.
Well, I'm including my buddies too. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Larry. We appreciate
glad
you calling.
Out.
And come see
yes,
us at Shiloh Shooting Range. We'll get you taken care of.
Guaranteed.
All right. Now, something that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I just lost it. Just totally lost it.
You had a brain fart?
I did. Anyway,
that's good because that's keeping up with the rest of your body.
If he was SIG 1911,
yes,
they have a model coming out called the Nightmare. Well, it's already out. It's a fastback design,
Nightmare.
You know, and it's all black. It's got some chrome accents on it. It's a
I do not want to shoot anybody with a gun called the Nightmare.
It's a good looking gun
with black talons.
But, exactly. Yeah.
Do wonders for your
the
your
fang
journey,
in the face. You know, fang face ammo.
The Felon Shredder 2000.
Oh, man.
But the cool thing about it is they're coming out with it in 357 SIG.
Hmm.
So 1911 and 357 SIG sounds
why
like an interesting gun.
It's
why not?
It's been done before. What? It's called the 9x25 Dillon.
It's also called the 38 Super.
And
for the most part.
And the 38 Casull and 9x23. Dude, it's been done. But that's
Jeff, he looks like somebody kicked his dog. Like we were supposed to be on board and then go, wow, great. 357, an answer to a question no one asked.
Yeah, well, SIG won't be hiring us anymore.
No.
Well, you know, you can get a little bit more capacity out of the gun than you could out of a 45.
Okay. And you can do that with a 38 Super or with a 9x25 Dillon.
We're going to take our long commercial break now. It's going to be about 6 minutes away. We come back with hour number two of Guns Over Texas. If you're on hold, hold on just a little while longer, and we'll get back to you just as soon as we come back from break. So 281-558-5738. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome to hour number two of Guns Over Texas. We're here talking guns, gear, ammo, legislation, CHLs, anything you want to talk about. It's on the table today. 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's head out to Hempstead and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I was just wondering why there's such a love fest for the M&P Shield. In comparison, it looks a lot like the Walther PPS that's widely panned. Shield seems to be hated for its thumb safety.
Well, no, the thumb safety doesn't really bother me because you can just flick it off and ignore it.
Well, I mean, I would prefer that not be there on mine.
Yeah.
Because
that makes it more sellable in some certain states and republics such as New Jersey or California or other places that might mandate such a thing. So, therefore, it's just an easier way for them to get around it and say, look, it's there. Just flick it off and ignore it if you don't like it.
Yeah.
But the PPS, you know, I've handled it and I felt it, and it's not bad. I don't dislike the PPS, but it's still got a high bore axis, and the trigger is okay. It's just, it doesn't wow me for what they want for it, for the cost and so forth. And then you look at, you know, accessories and magazines and so forth and the availability of parts, Walther not being a U.S. manufacturer, it's just...
They are pricey.
Yeah, I mean... You know, I can get a $19 Shield magazine, or I can get a $47 Walther magazine. You know, same with holsters and stuff. Basically, Smith & Wesson being a U.S. manufacturer, you're going to get more support. More departments are going to buy them because they're already buying the M&Ps for their agents or officers. So they'll authorize the Shield as their backup off-duty guns. That means more holster manufacturers will make stuff. More accessories and sights will come available.
Yeah.
It's just going to have a lot more support and drive behind it in the long run,
I think. Well, as an example, if we look at like our local guys, Comptac, I don't know if they've even tooled up for the PPS yet, but they tooled up for the Shield in like 4 days.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with the PPS, but given my choice between the two, I'd take the Shield just because I know down the line, lower cost of ownership due to the mags, the holsters, and everything else.
I've seen PPSs fail on a semi-regular basis.
I've never seen one fail yet, but I've only seen a couple of them fire. So
yeah, and I've seen I've seen two of them that when the person took the grip panel off the back of the gun would no longer fire.
Ooh,
that sounds like an improper assembly.
Yeah, that could be used the nut behind the grip, not necessarily the gun.
No, everything was put back the way it was supposed to.
Oh, okay. And actually, Walther and Smith & Wesson have been in bed for years and years and years, but I think they're getting ready to have a little divorce. And
they already have.
They had their divorce.
Smith & Wesson is no longer making Walther.
I knew it was coming, but I just didn't know that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just described the gun that worked until the guy messed with it.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that's a lot of guns. And even if you buy, you know, I can normally say you can always, you know, look over a used gun and it's probably going to work, but you never know if somebody's selling it because somebody got in there with their Dremel tool, their kitchen table gunsmith, and they destroyed the thing. You know, and are now trying to foist it onto you.
All right. Great show. I'm glad to see there's still a gun show on the radio in Houston.
No problem. Well, thank
We're
you,
glad
sir.
To be that gun show and the only local live gun talk show.
Well, thank you for calling, sir. And like I say, if your Walther works for you, more power to you. I'm sure, I don't dislike them. I just think in the long run, there'll be more support behind the Shield.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
sir.
You, Mike. Thanks. You know, not to mention between Gary, between you and I, how many rounds do you think you have?
Mine
through
is now just over 1,800 as of Wednesday.
Okay, and I'm right around 2,300 now, and so between the two of us, we have nearly 5,000 rounds through the gun. Have you experienced any failures yet?
I've had zero stoppages, and that's 1,400 of that was just ball, 1,400 plus, and 400 rounds of it was half and half, Federal HST and Spear Gold Dot.
Man,
I'd be interested.
I want to get some IT jobs, man. Golly, that's a lot of money on ammo, man.
If I'm gonna bet my butt on it, I will not spare a dime.
You know, I'd be interested to see how the 40s are holding up, only because I know that my 40 cal M&P had some issues. But when I called Smith about it, they were like, "Oh yeah, we know that breaks."
Yeah,
they fixed it for free within a week. But you know, it's the nines. Any gun out there tends to run better in 9 than it will in 40. Yeah. And even the guy who had called earlier and was talking about what he wanted to buy his first gun, I'm going to say 9 across the board just because it's going to be easier on you, easier ammo, easier on the gun. The XDs, if you're going to have an XD, I'd get it in 9 long before I'd get it in 40.
Well, the thing about the XD and the Glock, when we talk about the
guns, never designed to be a 40.
When they were designed originally, they were designed from the outset to be 9 millimeters. Now, the Shield, that was designed from the get-go to be a 40.
Yep.
And so that's a gun that runs fine in 40, 9 times out of 10. There's been issues, but Smith & Wesson stepped up to the plate, revised their design, and in like your case, Jason, they went ahead and fixed it.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem recommending 40, but like the M&P Shield, I just don't see a point. I mean, it's such a short barrel, you're not getting a lot of the benefit out of the higher velocity or any of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making this really small gun, to me, potentially less controllable. 9 is fine, and to that end, when we talk about caliber, I had a conversation with somebody who, they want to know why am I not necessarily a caliber whore, not hung up on 45 or 40, and like I said, that led to the article that I posted on our deal with hot dogs and hoses, marshmallows and grapes, because guys have heard me say that but didn't know what it meant.
And we're gonna get to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Do you want to hit this next call, and then we'll get into that, or what?
Yeah, let's do that. And by the way, nearly 2,300 rounds with my Shield, and not one hiccup.
Not even one.
So nearly 5,000 rounds between two guns, and there have been multiple different brands of ammo, multiple different grains of ammo put through it. Because, I give the gun to customers and let them shoot what they want, and I ask, what brand, how many.
Right.
And so we've kept a running tally, and it has been...
Let me ask you this. Have you put Plus P Plus ammo through your gun yet?
Have not.
Because I had someone
ask. You put
Plus
P through it because I brought up several boxes of it. That's what I was running through it. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
because I ran
Plus P Plus.
I ran Ranger Duty ammo, 124 grain Plus P, and I ran Gold Dot Plus P, and I ran Spear Lawman Plus P.
Well, I had somebody who had some 127 grain, which is weird, but 127 grain Plus P Plus Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to run it, and I was kind of like, I'm a little leery of putting that through any gun, but such a small gun, short barrel, short recoil action group, I was kind of like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
I worried that might actually manage to wreck a gun. So I chickened out.
I don't blame you for that. Let's head out to the highway and talk to Ernie. Ernie, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Ernie?
How are you?
Great, sir.
How are you?
Pretty good. The question I had is, I have a car CW9, and I'm looking to buy another pistol, and I'm just wondering, thought about the HK, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I guess you're looking for a full-size gun then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with your car, as far as I could say.
Yeah. If you're looking for a full-size gun, then, HKs are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just expensive.
Right.
And so, other than HK, there's certainly SIG. We dog them a lot, but they work. This Beretta 92, if you really want a big old gun in 9mm. There's the sky's the limit. We certainly like Glocks and the M&P because those are simple guns, simple to work on.
Support, a lot of aftermarket parts,
exactly.
Holsters, mags, night sights, all that stuff.
Right, and there's support
fairly
like,
cheap,
right?
Too.
And there's support like that for things like HK. It's just that it's not quite as much of it.
Well, it's out there. Right. You just got to pay more for it,
right?
You know,
correct.
So, I mean, in terms of, you know, being the guy who's budget-minded, then we tend to, as far as bang for your buck, we tend to like Glock and the M&P for that reason. But, you know, heck, you can even go as far as Ruger. And, you know, they may be ugly, but they do run.
Yeah, the ergonomics will tear your hands up, but it'll run.
So, what HK are you looking at?
I'm not 100% sure. There's a business not too far from our office that I was going to go and take a look at what they had, because I know they had some there from a friend of mine, but I haven't been there to look at them yet.
One of the more some of the best feedback that we're getting from on H&Ks is the P30. It fits people's hand really well, and it does. I really like putting my hands on the gun.
The P2000 is...
When I shoot the P30, it does not I cannot get the gun to function reliably, and I've had this on four or five different P30s. Everybody else shoots it just fine, but with my hands...
Kind of like you and the phone, huh?
Or I was thinking about, you know, just getting another car.
You can certainly do that. Yeah, there's in the car line there's the T9, so it's, you know, it's their quote unquote full size. I think it's a 4-inch or 4.5-inch barrel. You know, that's actually a pretty neat little gun. And if you're fine with a single stack, I'd go for it.
You know, everybody needs a Glock.
Did we lose him?
I think he hung up on him.
Jeff.
Yep.
Good.
It's
Lord.
Jeff.
I'm
again.
Not even anywhere near the phone. How did I used my Jedi mind trick to turn Ernie off?
Uh-huh.
I can say this though, having dealt with the H&Ks and I'm a factory armor for HK, they are tanks. They run, they run, they run, and you know, my only complaint would be the way it fits my hand. But other than that, I could never say it broke, or I could never say they had problems.
For the price you pay for a polymer frame gun, that thing needs to run.
Yeah, if you're going to dump it, you know, $900 for it and $50 a mag.
Here's the thing that I've been saying about HKs and SIGs. They're the most expensive guns that I'd be willing to throw across a parking lot and expect them to work.
Now, SIG, you know what you're getting for the money. You at least have a metal frame on it.
Yes.
You know, which I tend to like that a little bit more.
Sure.
So, well.
Well, you're not as likely to squeeze so hard that you can't get a magazine out. Not that I've
I'd
ever
love
seen
to see you do that on any gun.
Done it on an SDI many a day.
But
dude.
Being, you know, being an armorer for SIG and HK, I've had to repair a heck of a lot more SIGs than HKs, because the HK count is maybe, well, one, an MP5. I had break. That was it.
Yeah.
But none of the pistols.
Somebody worked to break the MP5.
That would be me. But it, even broken, it still ran. One of the roller locks actually popped out of it, and we were up at Shiloh actually shooting it. And, you know, took it apart to give it a little squirt or two of lube and wipe it down, and the roller locks actually fell out of the side of it. And they're not supposed to do that.
No, they're not.
But I managed to push them back in and get the whole rat tail assembly back into the gun, and it just kept right on going. So even with a broken bolt, it still ran.
Yep.
You know, I was talking to an old friend of mine this past week, came in to visit, and he's up north. He's on a federal agency's SWAT team, and he was telling me he was so excited because they just dumped that Beretta 92 and went to Glocks instead. And
lost 5 pounds of gun?
He was beaming. He was so happy talking about it, man. I got a real kick out of it. And I know why I don't like the Beretta 92, and that it has a lot to do with how the gun is built, where they have the stupid safety and decocker situated. And he said pretty much the same thing when I asked him, you know, well, what makes you so happy about it? And he said that Beretta is a piece of garbage if you're going to be fighting. If you're looking for a fighting gun, that's not your gun. And he said while Glock is not his favorite gun, he's just extremely elated to have that Glock as opposed to
he doesn't
to
have two trigger 92. Pulls to deal with now. He doesn't have every time you come over the top to release the slide or to yank on it, you accidentally activate the safety, which is the biggest complaint. Now, if they'd ever buy the Beretta 92 G series, I can't remember what the G stands for, but basically it's a decocker only.
Right.
So even if you do happen to grab the slide very forcefully and yank it back, and you do activate the decocker, it'll spring right back into place, and you keep right on rolling.
Well, Beretta used to sell a lot of those. I think they called it the Elite.
Which was a G model.
It was a G model, and that was actually
and the
okay.
Veritech in G. Fine gun, but, man, the actual Beretta 92F, it was the first handgun I ever bought, and I had to have it because I saw Die Hard. And, you know, there's no reason not to have it. If you've seen Die Hard, you have to have one. You know, it was a different time. It was the late 80s.
So you're just admitting to the fact.
And I had a Colt Delta Elite. They were bought right around the same time, but I had to have a 10 millimeter because, you know, Sonny Crockett had a 10 millimeter.
It looked good with your pastel suit.
My stainless steel 10 millimeter Delta Elite looked cool. Yes.
So did you, like, turn the Fiero into the Testarossa, too?
I was sporting a four-cylinder Mustang, baby. Four cylinders of fury.
Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to hour number two of Guns Over Texas, Houston. Almost forgot what we were called there for a minute.
Well, at least you didn't call us 30 Green.
That's right.
Not that we have any problem with them. It was just that was what Mark, our producer, was infamous for doing.
Yeah.
Every Saturday.
We could be like Sons of Guns or American Gun or Combat Pawn. No? We don't want to be like them?
Yeah, when we leave here, we take our AK-47s and AR-15s
and tactically clear the parking lot.
Patrol the parking lot before getting into our cars. Yeah.
I get douche chills every time I see those, man.
Was that? That was Combat Pawn?
Combat Pawn. Any of them. And I know it's a rerun, but I saw one recently where we're going to have to make a custom-made lever-action shotgun with a motorcycle mount so this guy can ride his motorcycle with his gun mounted on a gimbal on the front of his motorcycle, and we're going to set up a special combat course with watermelon so he can ride it 40 miles an hour shooting his shotgun off his freaking motorcycle.
I realize that you guys are going to ride me for this, but I will say this. At least in this day and age, we have shows that are, goofy though they may be, pro-gun. Because
they're pro-gun. They're not pro-gun. They're trying to depict all the people dealing with the guns as bubbas and tinfoil hat-wearing idiots.
I'll give you that.
They're FUDs.
But we wouldn't have even had that 10 years ago.
But is it helping our cause as trying to normalize guns?
There's a lot of people who simply find the shows entertaining and don't necessarily look at it.
They're not informative, I can tell you that.
I'll give you that. They're definitely not informative.
Now, Top Shot, as much as I think the guy who's hosting it is kind of a douche, I do like that they show competition.
Would you stop saying that?
My word of the day.
This is not a Massengill commercial.
Okay, we got past.
Stop.
Well, they're not turds because they're not criminals. They're just kind of weird. Anyway, the guys, you know, they have to cheese ball up and make it dramatic, all the Top Shot. Yeah. But at least they're doing legitimate shooting contests with legitimate people trying to better themselves.
Well, it would be legitimate shooting contests when it's not throwing hatchets.
but they got
to
keep it.
You have to be the Top Shot of
all things.
All weapons.
When's the last time you threw a hatchet?
Not long ago.
What did I mention earlier? why were you throwing a hatchet?
Why not?
Okay. All right. Good answer. Even if I had a hatchet, it would be something I would hold on to, because if I had a weapon, why would I throw the weapon away?
Thank you.
You know, I have no answer for that. It's just fun.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
And that's fine.
But we're a custom gun shop.
But I'm not
going to
measure you as a shooter based on whether or not you can hit something with a hatchet.
Yeah. But we're the custom gun shop who's got to make something super duper special and weird every show with our redneck gunsmiths down in the basement, which is all fine and dandy. But now we're going to show the public that, you know, we make a living selling guns.
You realize that a substantial part of our listener base likes those shows, right?
They like that we're going to show, this is what we're going to portray the American gun-owning public, is the guy riding his Harley with a shotgun mounted on it while he shoots at watermelons riding down the runway.
Watermelons that explode. Like
with fire. Yes, they flame when they fly.
But the show wouldn't work otherwise.
I know.
Let's face it. I mean, the reality is that between the three of us, we are entirely too calm, too normal, too non-dramatic, although my wife might disagree.
But you can go on the Sportsman's Channel, and you can see
you having a little drama, having a little flair for some drama.
Larry Vickers has a show on Sportsman's Channel, Larry Vickers is a former Delta Force member, and he goes on there with a couple of other, Kyle DeFore, and I can't remember the Australian guy's name, but they're all high-speed guys, and they talk about legitimate weapons being employed in a legitimate way. Not that there's an illegitimate way, I guess, but
there are illegitimate ways.
Serious use of weapons, and I can watch that and go, there's a professional man giving a professional show, giving professional information, not, woohoo, we're going to blow up some watermelons that are going to shoot flame out of them, and you just sit there and like,
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying.
They blew up stuff on Top Shot, and it's still an entertaining show. I can sit through
Top Shot. Actually, Top Shot is not entertaining to me.
No, well, the 5 minutes of shooting is entertaining. The 45 minutes of everybody
backstabbing. Oh, that guy jawjacking? Yeah, that's not entertaining. And to me, Top Shot is, it's kind of like going to a shooting match, but making MTV's Real World part of it at the same time.
That's just it. We got to have the backstabbing and the fighting and the crybabying. Because if there wasn't drama, no one wants to just see, hey, I'd like to watch a shoot. And, let's watch a match.
And then we got the guy with the irritating voice who I just wish someone would have a negligent discharge and turn him off.
Colby?
Whatever his name is. I don't know. I'm tired of seeing him.
Yeah, well, there's several good shows. If you have the Sportsman Channel or Sporting Channel.
And there's Three Gun Nation.
It's channel 680 on ATT U-verse. I knew that. And it's got, like you said, there's Three Gun channels. There's American Handgunner TV. Masayub is on there. American Rifleman TV is on there. Mm-hmm. And they have some more, I would say, legitimate
and educational
shows as opposed to entertainment value shows. You know, we got Sons of Guns coming right after. Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
Okay, actually, with that, I have to go against him.
Well, you know,
Honey Boo Boo.
You haven't seen Here Comes Honey Boo Boo?
No,
I haven't seen it. There's a commercial that they show for it
at home.
It's one of these pageant kids who's the most repugnant of all the pageant kids that therefore gets her own spinoff pageant show. And it
just makes me want to go burn through some ammo.
My wife is so kind to me because she doesn't make me watch these things.
Now, a friend of ours, a friend of the range, actually got invited to go to Hollywood for the casting of Top Shot. Mm-hmm. And I know him as a very competent instructor and a very good shooter. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, Josh, you know, how did it go? Do you think you made it? And he just laughed and shook his head. No way I made that.
Because they didn't want him to shoot. They wanted to see personality. Well,
I said, were they really that good? Because, I mean, it didn't seem like it.
There's some mediocre shots on there.
And he just laughed. He said, they're not looking for America's top shot. They're looking for America's best personality with a mediocre shot.
Yes.
Yep. That's exactly what the show is. And I would love to say, like, could I outshoot some of those guys on there? I'm sure some will outshoot me. I'm sure I'll outshoot some of them. But I don't normally practice tying myself to a zip line and getting picked up by a crane and dropped, you know, 75 feet while shooting. That's not something that's normally in our practice sessions at the wall.
God, that would be fun.
Yes.
For someone who's not terrified of heights, I'm sure it would be. Some of us might tap out on that one and go,
But you got in a helicopter.
The helicopter doesn't bother me, but I don't ride in glass elevators. I hung out of the helicopter and didn't faze me a second. Glass elevators, the boy Tynamite will tell you that I have to turn and face the door and stand right next to the door and I cannot turn around.
All right, fellas, let's head out.
I'm a little girl with heights.
If you have questions or comments, want to get involved with
the show,
give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's head out to Jersey Village. JV, Paul, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, Paul.
Yes, hello, guys. How are you today?
Pretty good,
fantastic.
Sir.
Good. I was wanted to get your input on a Colt LE6920 SOCOM.
Buy it.
Love it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I figured you'd say.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The 6920's been in the catalog for almost as long as I can remember, and it's a solid starting point. If you just want just a general purpose AR-15 that does everything that you can attach whatever you want to it, that's the gun to go with.
And it already comes tricked out with the rail and the flip-up rear sight. The only complaint I'd have on that gun is the flip-up rear sight is the Martek rear sight.
It's a crappy rear sight.
A crappy rear sight. But other than that, the rail and everything else on it's fine. The problem with that rear sight is when you flip it up, it only has one aperture, a tiny, tiny aperture.
Yeah.
And it's not a very strong design, as in when you drop them and they're raised, they snap off. Ask me how I know. Not the strongest rear sight, but if you get another rear sight on there, you could probably sell that rear sight on there on eBay for $60 or $70 and use that money to go buy anybody else's flip-up rear
Jason,
sight.
If you weren't hitting suspects with your rear sight, they wouldn't snap off.
What about an EOTech on the, on the for a rear sight, will it go over that
Well, what you would, what typically yes. you'll do is, yeah, it'll go over what most of us do with
the EOTech on my Colt 6920 right now.
You'll co-witness it.
Yes.
Okay, co-witness, okay.
It is going to co-witness. You can buy a mount that will sit underneath there that will raise it to a one-third co-witness, which is in the bottom third of the reticle. That's your call. I personally have mine co-witnessed and don't have a problem with it, but if it wasn't issued to me that way and I was buying it, I'd probably buy something with a bottom third co-witness.
Okay.
Which Aimpoint has that.
Aimpoint has those. EOTech has them. EOTech or Aimpoint, you can't go wrong with. I like the Aimpoint reticle 100 times better than the EOTech. I like the EOTech reticle. The large 65 MOA circle with a little 1 MOA dot in the middle is just the best field of vision there is. But it doesn't have near the battery life of the Aimpoint.
Yeah, the battery life on the Aimpoint is better.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's whichever one you like, but in the grand scheme of things, if you're not going to be in Iraq and have that thing turned on for a month straight, there's nothing wrong with the 400 hours of battery life you're going to get off a EOTech as opposed to the 5,000 hours of battery life you're going to get off a Aimpoint.
Now, if you're looking at red dot sights, I would say take a good quality look at the Trigicon SRS as well. That's the new one. Solar, collects solar to run the battery. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it even has a battery.
It has a battery. It just charges on the solar the whole time. So that's how it increases its battery life.
Yeah, and it's got Trigicon SRS.
Mm-hmm. SRS.
And,
very good.
You don't get the tube effect out of it. It's a very wide field of vision. I really am excited about that.
If you're going to get the EOTech, I know everybody wants the AA model because AAs are cheap and easy to find, mm-hmm. but the AA models, basically the batteries are mounted in line with the gun, and during recoil they bounce back and forth. And that's fine for a certain amount of time, but after a while those contacts start to wear out mm-hmm. inside of the battery case, and that's a problem.
Good point.
The new EOTechs have a transverse mounted battery where it's one single lithium CR123 battery that's transversely mounted, and it doesn't have the recoil issues. So if I were going to buy one new, I would buy one with a single lithium battery as opposed to the two AAs. You'll get more battery life out of the two AAs. The problem is you'll also have more problem with the contacts in the long run.
Yep. Very good, very good. I have a good old SP1, you know, with mm-hmm. a 5-digit serial number that I don't want to put a bunch of rounds through with a carrying handle. Therefore, I think I'm going to go to that 6920 SOCOM.
Yep. And you're going to be very happy with it. I've had nothing but good luck with any of the Colts. We issue Colts, and I personally buy Colts. And like I say, a lot of our officers do not put the care, maintenance, and love into cleaning or maintaining the things. And they keep on running in spite of the fact that we're actually, you know, we have burst and auto, you know, lower. Mm-hmm. So they, during quals and during training, they are firing them, not just like pop. I mean, these things get a workout.
Yeah.
And I know the guys don't clean them nearly like they should be, and they still run.
Very good. Okay, guys, I really appreciate your input.
You yes, got sir. It, Paul. I hope that helps you out. And like we said, you can't go wrong with that 6920.
That's what I'll do, and I enjoy your show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, from Jersey Village out to Conroe, let's talk to Ben in Conroe. Ben, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Ben?
How are you doing today?
Great,
I
sir.
I love your show.
We appreciate you calling in.
First quick question. Ammo shelf life. It's been kept on a shelf and in the house, never in the garage or storage or anything else.
You know, 100 years old, 40,
50
years.
Still works. Yeah, I mean, I've shot World War II surplus stuff that's been kept in the house,
and it still runs.
Yeah.
I called in some time ago and was suggested I've been an expert with the M60 machine gun. But anyway, you were talking about the Smith & Wesson Shield.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at an ad here. It was in Thursday's paper. It says, military and police. It's a Smith nine millimeter and 40. It doesn't say anything about being a shield.
It's probably just the standard. Well, the M&P Shield is part of the same family of guns, so they have some parts commonality, but not much.
Which one are you recommending?
Well, we actually like all of the M&P line. So whether it be full size, like the standard military and police, or the compact shield, we're fans of all of
those. I'm looking for compact because I've got Glock 20, I've got Sig 20, I've got
So you're looking for a compact gun?
I tell you what I noticed here was a Beretta. They call it a Nano, N-A-N-O.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And also, they are in the same ad, they've got the Taurus Millennium Pro.
No.
I would bet I've got a Beretta 22s and what.
Yeah.
So What's your opinion of that Nano?
I didn't like the trigger on the Nano. I didn't like the feel of the Nano. I just didn't like the Nano.
High bore axis. I didn't mind the trigger at all, but the high bore axis is kind of the killer on that for me.
Okay.
I shot it surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while to get used to the trigger, but I would much rather have a shield.
Yeah. Well, I don't dislike the Nano. For the same price point, there are other things I'd like much
better. I'd rather have a car.
Yeah. Well, let me amend what I said. I don't like the Nano, but I don't have a problem with it functionally, mm-hmm. if that
but
makes
you'd
sense.
But you'd take a closer look at the Smith shield.
I've got 1,800 rounds through the shield, and I've been thoroughly impressed with it. It was a $400 gun. It's the best $400 I've spent.
That's right.
And
to me, this is the gun that really bridges the gap between concealed carry and duty-worthy gun.
Can you recall the model number?
It's called the M&P Shield, 9mm M&P Shield.
M&C?
M&P, Military and Police.
M&P, Police Shield.
Exactly,
okay.
Yes. But specifically the shield, because there is a M&P Compact, or 9 Compact,
That's a
double stack.
Yeah.
It's a double stack, and it's built on the same frame as the full-size gun.
It's a little smaller?
The shield is a little bit smaller than a 9mm compact.
The compact, being double stack, it's a little bit fatter. The shield's big selling point is it's slim.
Yeah, much slimmer.
Well, it just looks kind of neat and what like that. And I've got a Walther PPK that I've had since 1972. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I really don't need it, but it was kind of
well. Your shield is going to be roughly the same size as that PPK, but it's going to weigh
a lot less
than that all steel.
It's going to be a lot nicer to shoot.
And I'm looking at, I don't need another 380. I'm looking at the 9mm.
Yeah.
But I've got some Black Talon cartridges still.
Yeah. They still sell that bullet. It's called the Ranger T-Series now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. Enjoy your show very
much. Ben, we appreciate you calling us. If you're out there in Conroe, go see my buddy Danny Benoit out at Shooter Station. He just put in a new 100-yard indoor rifle range at Shooter Station.
Okay.
When
are you
putting that in?
It's been a while, but he was a co-owner, and now he's full owner, I think.
Yes, sir. He is a heck of a nice guy. Really, really good guy. And we like him a lot. He's a good, honest guy, and he'll take care of you. Tell him Guns Over Texas sent you out there.
And your name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff?
Yes, sir. He'll know me tell him the guy's from Shiloh.
I understand. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate your time, and I love your show very much.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Bye-bye.
I like that guy. I hope he goes and sees my buddy Danny at Shooter Station, which reminds me, we need to go out there and check out his 100-yard indoor rifle range.
I want to know when you're going to upgrade to a 100-yard indoor rifle range.
When we get about another $2 million just to play with.
Well, you've got what, 5 acres back behind you in a straight line?
Yeah.
So he could.
Yeah, well, see.
A couple acres.
Okay.
We just need some rich person to donate a few million bucks, and we'll get right on that.
Million?
Dude, you know what it costs to build a range? Trust me, I've done the numbers. It ain't cheap.
But I've seen the shoddy workmanship. He's... Oh, I'm getting dirty looks from the booth, probably.
We're going to head out. We're on that note. We're going to cut Jason's microphone off and then head out to Angleton. TR in Angleton, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
y'all have a very interesting show every Sunday. I have a Armalite 300 SAUM.
Okay.
And I bought it for to do long range shooting in Colorado, like for elk or something. And this was about 10 years ago. And of course, the economy went bad, and I got on up in age, and I'm probably not going to go anymore. But I was looking to sell it.
Okay.
If I sell it to an individual, what do I need to get from that individual to keep me off them?
What I would do is just simply write up a firearms bill of sale, and if you want to do it the safe route, personally, I won't sell anybody who doesn't have a concealed handgun license. That's my personal call. You don't have to do it that way, but that, for me, just is my instant. I know I didn't sell it to a felon.
It's your background check.
Right.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
So, I don't necessarily keep a copy of it. I just tell the person, hey, if you show me a valid CHL, we're good. That's my way of handling it.
Okay.
Hope that helps you out, TR. And good luck on getting that thing sold. We appreciate you listening to Guns Over Texas, and appreciate you giving us a call. So if you want to get out on the action, Houston, 281-558-5738. Let's head out to Navasota and talk to Buddy. Buddy, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Long time listener. Enjoy your show. I was going to give one of my pistols to a daughter that she's going to come down to Tracy and get her right to carry license. But anyway, it's a Smith & Wesson 9mm. Would you recommend a website where I can order a holster?
comp-tac.com.
I was only going to say it's going to be for a female. Inside the waistband for female can be different.
May or may not work.
May or may not work. It would depend on your daughter's size and what type of clothing she wears.
Probably carry it in a purse. I just need something.
No problem.
Well, for just the class, just an outside the waistband will work fine.
Yeah, I mean, a cheapo Phobos or something, which I can't believe those words came out of my mouth.
Comp-tac.
Just buy it once, buy it right.
But yes.
Repeat that website again.
www.comp, as in Paul, -tac, as in cat, .com.
Thank you, man. Enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you giving us a call.
It's hard to select a holster for somebody else, though. That's knowing myself that I've gone through like 10 holsters. That's one of those, before I'd buy, I'd let somebody try on 5 or 6 different holsters and see which one they liked.
Yeah. All right, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Yeah. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're going to get straight out to the phone lines. We got a bunch of callers on the line, and Gary is shooting me dirty looks because we haven't gotten to his hamburgers and hot dogs and marshmallows and grapes yet. So we're going to get there. Let's clear these phone lines up. Let's head out to Spring right off the bat and talk to Bob. Bob, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Bob?
Well, thank you. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about bullets, those safety bullets you shoot. You know, for self-protection inside the house, you shoot them
like
and hit a wall.
Safety
and
slugs?
Well, they break up and don't go through the wall.
No, we don't recommend them.
No, that was a fad. Remember in the early 80s, the Glazer safety slug was a big...
Oh, they still sell them. $4 or $5 around. But Jesus out of them.
But that doesn't mean they're worth a poo.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just...
No problem. I understand completely. And you know, a good quality, any good quality Federal or Hornaday or anybody like that is going to make a quality hollow point defensive bullet. Unfortunately, bullets, if they're going to go through people, they're going to go through walls and stuff too. You just have to be sure of your backstop. And hopefully, if you're putting them into the person, they will not be going in an unintended direction.
Right.
So it's a hollow point Federal would be something that might
Federal spear.
Yeah. Corbon.
Any Winchester, Corbon. Yeah.
Well, let's give them the names. I mean, with Federal, you've got there's a long time standard. They've had the HydroShock out. It's been 30 years. Mm-hmm. But they've replaced that bullet recently with the HST, and that's what they sell to law enforcement primarily. But that's a very good bullet. That's a bullet that lives up to its name.
Spear Gold Dots?
Spear Gold Dot is another, you know, long time, been out for a long time, but that's a great choice as well. Mm-hmm. Winchester, Ranger T-Series is great. But there's also SXT, which works just fine for personal defense.
Mm-hmm.
With Remington, Golden Saber. Been around forever, but it works.
Winchester, short tips.
Remington Golden Saber is one that's been around forever. It works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a different question.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I got an old Bauer pack gun that's all metal, 410, 22 barrel. You twist it to the side, and it comes off the metal stock.
Uh-huh.
And needed some parts made for it to put it back together again. I bought it with trigger missing and springs and stuff like that out of the trigger assembly.
Okay.
Is there somebody that can work on something like that?
Off the top of my head, actually what I would do is talk to Ed Vandenberg because he could probably refer to you as somebody who can make those parts. That would be the and it's just Vandenberg Custom.
I tell you what, I've got a guy, his name is Gary Licario.
Haven't heard that name in a long time.
he is a heck of a good guy. He's North Houston area. And let me see, I'm getting his contact number out right now. He has a company called GL Gunworks. And you can reach him at 281-847-5732. That's 281-847-5732. And
super, thank you.
Heck of a good guy. So tell him Guns Over Texas sent you.
Sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good one, Bob. Thanks for giving us a call. We appreciate your contribution to Guns Over Texas. And back out to North Houston. Mike, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Mike?
How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thank you, sir.
Just thinking, what do you think about the SIG 229?
They work.
P229.
They work.
For
they
work. Carry.
I carry one. They work.
Yeah.
Okay.
I carried one for several years. It's a fine gun. It's a little fat.
It's mm-hmm. thick and it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it runs. It's not the easiest thing to conceal, but it does run.
Yeah.
It's a heck of a gun. Shoots really well for a small or for a compact. Yeah.
Well, and I had one 357 SIG. So, I mean, that was a.
mine's in 40 DAK, the double action Kellerman, and I like it better than the double single myself. I've got
agreed.
A double single and a DAK, and I carry the DAK.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're definitely going to want to make sure to invest in a good gun belt, concealed carry gun belt.
Yeah, it's not a light gun.
No.
And Comp-Tac. Once again, we're going to go to Comp-Tac because I'm wearing a 5-year-old Comp-Tac belt right now that is held up through the test of time, and it's my everyday belt. It still
Wait,
looks...
it's 5 years old. What did you poke more holes in it?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because that belt was a little bit longer when you started out.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, if Greg wanted to send me a new one for, you know, the countless shout-outs we've done for Comp-Tac, I would not be, I wouldn't
not,
send it
you're
away.
You're not on the cool guy list. I'm sorry.
So definitely check out their gun belts, Mike. They make life a lot easier. Thanks for calling Guns Over Texas.
It would be replacing like a Beretta FS-92 is what I've been carrying.
If you're used to carrying something that size, then the 229, it's going to be right up your alley.
The SIG's not going to be much thinner, but it'll be a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Show.
Thank you.
Let's head out to Cypress. We got Robert on line 3. Robert, fire away.
Yeah, inexpensive 9mm ammo.
How cheap do you want to go?
Well, we're... you all sent me out to that Steel Challenge matches out in. Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Man, cheaper Wolf, Tula, Seller and Boyd. I mean, depending on where you look and what's on sale, that's the problem. I mean, if you look at it, Academy, you'll sometimes have it, you know, $8.99 a box. You just got to run in and buy it all up like everybody does
because
it gets snatched up that morning when it goes on sale.
Right.
Federal Estate is cheap, and it's been working really well. I haven't had any issues.
I
just in the
bet
past
my
2 weeks,
on
I've
the
run
from the Tula stuff, but for practice, hey.
And for the Steel Challenge, it's just fine.
Just in the last couple of weeks, we've run about 2 cases of the Federal Estate and haven't had any problems with it. It's a little dirty, but who cares?
Yeah,
that's the people say it's just really dirty and they don't want to shoot Russian ammo.
Well, the Russian ammo, usually that concern, particularly now, if you're doing
steel case
challenge,
and underpower.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You're doing Steel Challenge, so the concern there comes in with a steel bullet hitting a steel target.
Mm-hmm.
So you may actually end up with greater risk of ricochet and or damaging the target. And I can tell you, West Houston IDPA, we wouldn't be fond of damaging our targets, but it happens.
Is that actually steel ballistic tip on the handgun ammo?
That sometimes.
That can't be imported, though.
It's not a ballistic tip.
It's not considered a penetrating tip?
No.
It's a steel core. Yeah.
Steel core.
It's just steel core. But it'll stick to a magnet all day long.
All right.
Is there one more question? Is there anybody locally that's reloading ammo that would be a good place to buy?
Freedom Munitions is doing a second chance ammo, I guess you would call it. Really nice looking stuff for being reloads, and haven't seen any bad issues with it. It's been it's held up great, and so I definitely recommend Freedom Munitions.
And they're local?
Yes, sir. They're actually going to have a storefront off of 290 here shortly. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather spend my money here in Texas.
Yep.
And
yes,
we'd
sir.
Rather have we'd like that. To help you do that, Robert.
Thank
you. We appreciate you calling the show. Thanks for being a part of Guns Over Texas. All right, let's head out to James in Northwest Houston. A lot of people in Northwest Houston today. James, fire away.
Yes, sir. I heard about a 4-hour CATL non-resident Florida license.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know anything about that?
Yeah, the idea is that people get a non-resident permit in Florida. They do a 4-hour class because if you already have a Texas CHL, you can get a Florida CHL without doing a class. But people do the Florida non-resident class as a shortcut to get a CHL. There can be some issues here. It really depends on the instructor. One of the issues being you may or may not get a very good rundown of use of force laws. You will definitely.
And they do vary state to state.
And they vary state to state. There's also a potential issue of not getting a very clear understanding of where you can and cannot carry. Those, again, vary state to state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to do it, you know, knock yourself out. I wouldn't say not to do it. But if you're going to carry in Texas, and there's been talk of addressing that, and I don't know that the legislature's done it yet. The legislature's talked about saying that if you are a Texas resident, that they will not recognize a non-resident permit from another state unless you're a resident of that state. So I don't know that has occurred yet. I hope it doesn't, but it may. But it's something to be aware of. But I think that, you know, what I've seen for the cost of the course, I don't know. You might be better off just doing the 10 hours with a CHL instructor here in Texas.
Okay. I was going to figure out a tick with you guys. You don't know a whole lot more about all that CHL.
Well, I mean, shortcuts
rarely end up being the way.
Yeah.
You know, so I strongly suggest just get your Texas CHL. And then if you decide, you know what, I want to be able to carry in a couple extra states, then get your Florida license.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you, James. We appreciate you giving us a call. All right, and to North Carolina, Tom, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Hey, how's it going out there?
Hey, fantastic down here in the South, sir. We appreciate you listening to us way up there.
Yes, sir. I have a PX4 I bought last year, and I've ran about 100 rounds through it so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 9mm, and I really like the way it holds in my hand and fires. And I have a Colt 45 911.
Uh-huh.
I really like that, too. But I was thinking about getting another 45, a newer one, kind of like a Poly.
Okay.
And I've held a couple of Glocks and HK and SIG, stuff like that. But I noticed that PX4 Beretta has a 45 also, and it basically feels like the 9, except it's a little heavier. I was wondering, you guys haven't talked too much about the Beretta PX line. Is it like an inferior gun? Or
let me ask you this. How many gun designers in the world use a rotating barrel design instead of a Browning tilt lock design?
Excuse me?
How many gun makers in the world use a rotating barrel lock instead of a tilt lock design? And the answer is none, except Beretta in that one line.
Exactly.
And there's if it was a, you know, if it was taking the gun world by storm, you'd be seeing a little bit more of it.
But let's keep in mind why Beretta did that. Beretta went to that because they wanted a 45,
and
they couldn't
wanted,
do it.
They couldn't do it with their drop, the locking block they were using in the Beretta 92 series. They couldn't get it done.
Right.
But why not go with the proven Browning tilt lock design?
Because it was pizza guns, and they just wanted to do something
different. I
understand
that. Now, that being said, your Beretta, the storm may or may not run fine. I know of only one agency that's procured it worldwide that I can think of off the top of my head. That's the Canadian Border Police adopted it, and I can't think of a single police agency in the U.S. that adopted it, and I can't think of anybody else worldwide. That doesn't mean they haven't, but overall it just hasn't taken off. I won't say it's a bad gun because I've seen them and they run, but they definitely haven't blown up the skirts of any major purchasers.
I will defend them in the sense that all that I've ever seen ran just fine.
They do not run on Academy's cheap Monarch line. Their Monarch brass do not work out of the PX4 line.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well,
it's not meaning it won't work. I'm just saying that particular design, they kind of went off on a tangent with the rotating barrels, and nobody else is doing that. And I don't see Beretta stuffing a lot of people's holsters full of those guns right now.
Okay, I appreciate your. I was wondering if there was a reason for it, and that's exactly it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Tom. And if you're looking for a polymer frame 45, check out the Smith & Wesson M&P 45. Mm-hmm. A really cool gun, similar grip angle to the 1911. All right, Gary, the floor is yours.
The last 30 seconds of the show.
Of hot dogs, hoses, hamburgers, it's like you're taking us to a picnic, Oregon picnic.
Well, the whole deal is that someone kept asking me to explain it. And the other issue was that people didn't understand why we weren't so hung up on caliber. And the whole thing is that at the end of the day, bullets are asked to do the same thing. Doesn't matter what caliber it is, who you're shooting at. We're trying to break bones, damage organs, interrupt the central nervous system, cause bleeding. That's what we're asking the gun to do, no matter what. And so to do that, what we've learned just through basic anatomy is that the human body has a nice little landing strip along the body midline that allows us to do all of those things in a relatively short amount of time. And so the deal is that if you're looking, and like I said, people have heard me say it, they just didn't hear me explain it. So it's hot dogs and hoses, marshmallows and grapes. Now, I didn't make that up. I believe the first person I ever heard say it was John Farnham. But the whole deal is that if you look at the body head on, you're looking at the vertebrae, it looks like a stack of marshmallows and grapes. Running down the middle of that is a hot dog, because spinal tissue does smell like hot dogs. John said it. I've smelled it. It smells like hot dogs. I don't know why, but it does.
I bet you could never eat another hot dog after that.
Actually, I don't really have a problem with eating hot dogs. I just don't particularly care for them.
I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
But, it's no big deal. I mean, I can eat grapes, and I've seen eyeballs popped out of skulls, so it's no big deal. So, anyway, so we've got the hot dog, right? And we've got the marshmallows and grapes wrapped around it. And on either side of that, two hoses that run down either side of the spine, and they bifurcate or split at the legs. Those hoses are the primary trunk or primary vessels of the circulatory system. If we hit any of these things, it tends to take the fight out of people very quickly. And so, like I said, that's that perfect landing strip. Now, it's not ideal. It may not be available to us, but that's what we always want to hit. Most of our targets that we have when teaching people don't teach us to shoot in that area. But I know that, Jason, when he's doing training, they're taught structural, breathing, circulatory.
Electrical, structural, or hydraulic. And if you look at that, electrical is the brain and the central nervous system. Mm-hmm. Hydraulic is loss of blood.
Right.
Or structural, you break enough bones that they physically fall over.
Which brings us back to hot dogs, marshmallows, and grapes.
His way is funner to say. My way is the way you would say it in court. But it all works the same.
Well, yeah, say it your way in court, but in terms of just remembering something, it's something that people remember and it sticks.
So you mean we don't have to have a big old 50 caliber bullet to...
No, you don't. Technically speaking, if a 22 will reach it, you're good.
Yeah.
Technically. But we recommend starting at 9, move up from there.
All right, and if you want to read Gary's article on hot dogs, hoses, marshmallows, and grapes, you can go to gunsovertexasradio.com, and that's where you can also get the podcast of our latest shows. So, Houston, that's another 2 hours down. We'll see you same time next week. If you don't have your CHL yet, get it now at Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Give them a call at 281-444-8930. See you next week, Houston. Shoot straight.